Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where this week we are taking a look at the first live-action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender, as opposed to the animated series, Mason.
I could watch it. It's on Netflix. I've got a lot of free time on my hands. Could have watched this, you know, multi-award-winning, I presume, very well-regarded series that people are constantly telling me to watch. But instead, I'm like, no, I can't watch it. I got to watch the movie adaptation that nobody likes first. It's got 5% of Rotten Tomatoes. Are you aware of that?
Well, I was aware of that. But the reason I wanted to do it this way is because I've seen the series and I wanted someone's perspective having no experience with it whatsoever. Like, how does this hold up as a movie if you've never seen anything about it?
Oh, not well.
This might be the worst movie we've done.
Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think it's because it's the culmination of, like, there's so much money in it and there's so much effort and thought and it's this tentpole blockbuster and it's off this beloved franchise.
See, I didn't get any sense of that at all. I can tell you that much.
It's a very expensive movie.
I'm well aware. I mean, look, about midway through, I did Google it. I'm like, do I need to know any information about this? And I'm like, oh, you got me. It's a Shyamalan movie. You son of a bitch.
Oh, did you not know?
I knew that, I think, at the time when it came out, and that's probably why I avoided it at the cinema.
Yeah, he was in a real cinematic trough.
But I'd had forgotten it in the interim and I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense actually.
It's just like, in terms of scope and the potential for a series and the storytelling that you could do with this, and it doesn't land a single thing. It's kind of fascinating.
Well, here's the thing. I think you, based on just this preamble here, I think you like it a lot less than I do. Like, I was not crushed by this.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I haven't seen anything that came before that. I get the sense there's a lot of potential in that was very much squandered in this. What I could tell you from this movie.
Oh, first, leave a like.
If you could.
Leave a like, yep.
What I could tell you, even if I'd never seen this before, which I hadn't. Wait, I'll start again.
That's right.
Even if I didn't know anything, you know, that was behind this movie, I think if I just watched it going in blind, I would have been like, this is based on something and...
or multiple things?
They've cut a lot of it out.
Yes.
Like, it's based on a bigger thing. Like, as soon as this started, I'm like, oh, there's an opening text crawl and there's narration. And I'm like...
And it says book one.
This narration is going to be filling in a lot of gaps in this movie.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah, you know that's a bad start when they just do the wall of text. Also, they say Avatar weirdly, and that comes from somebody who
Avatar.
Says... Yeah, who says, I say Sega instead of Sega. We're like the king of saying things weirdly. But if you're adapting something and you cannot get the name of it right.
But not all the time.
But not all the time.
Which maybe I thought was maybe a regional thing, because the fire people say Avatar, but the water people say Avatar. I think maybe it's a Victoria Adelaide thing.
Oh, okay, I mean? Right, you know? Yeah. Great reference. Everyone get that, yeah.
People from Adelaide are a bit more posh.
Yeah, they think they're better than us.
They would say Avatar.
They think they're better than us because they've got more churches. But
you're
guess
right.
What? Nobody cares.
Yeah. Churches are in the laneways, the beautiful coffee culture.
Oh my goodness,
Mason. That's what Melbourne has. Anyway, back to this movie. It sucks. Let's get into it.
Yeah, so I hate most of the cast. It's cast just wrong in general. There's a few choices in casting that I like. Yinsen is in this.
Professor Yinsen from the Iron Man movies, yes.
But also, like a lot of characters, including Jackson Rathbone, who plays...
Soccer,
yeah.
He plays soccer.
Nobody's funny. The appeal of the show...
I'll stop you there. Is anyone supposed to be funny?
Yes! Huh. It's a very funny show.
No, it's not. Based on this movie that I've seen, it's not a funny show. It's a very earnest show. It's a show where they tell you stuff is going to happen and then stuff happened. And then they talk about stuff that did happen, but you never actually see it happen. They'll be like, we're going to go on this big, long journey. But while we're on the journey, we're going to liberate all these. We're going to use our avatar powers and we're going to liberate all these towns from the evil of the Fire Nation. boy, it sure was a fun and enlightening time when we did that.
You see some of it.
You see it for 30 seconds is what you see.
Yeah. So also Zuko, the bad
guy. Danny Zuko.
You know, the bad guy.
Dev Patel,
who, to be fair, I think is not terrible in this, but he's doing the thing from the cartoon where he's big and he's yelling. And in the cartoon, it totally works. And here, it doesn't work at all. And
he's a frail little man.
He's a frail, well, not now, isn't he? You seen that guy now?
Yeah, he's great.
He's enormous and he gets so good looking.
Oh, my God.
He's got that Nicholas Holt thing going on, you
right,
know what I mean?
Yeah. Looks good in burgundy.
He looks incredible. And the same with, like, Katara is supposed to be this strong-willed force of nature.
That's why she got cast as Kate Yeager's daughter in Transformers, right, whichever Transformers she was in.
And even, look, to be fair, also, Noah Ringer, who plays Aang, I think he...
The Avatar.
Yeah, I think he's a very talented martial artist.
Genuinely, no, certainly, yeah.
He's also really fun in the behind the scenes stuff. I don't blame him.
It's the mark of a good movie where you can't translate the behind the scenes. Well, fun that's what I'm talking about. Screen fun,
because I don't think it's his fault. I think he could have made a good Aang, but it's not presented that way.
Right?
Like, at all.
What it's presented as is this massive mystery, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed initially because they're like, the big scrolling wall of text is like, back in the day, there was an avatar and he joined everyone together and he brought peace to the world. And now he's gone. He disappeared 100 years ago. Who's this kid? Oh, it's the Avatar. Mystery solved. 5 minutes in. I enjoyed that very much. I kept waiting for another shoe to drop, like he wasn't secretly the Avatar.
Oh, okay.
But then he was the Avatar.
He was, and everybody
cheered.
Cheered at the end, yeah.
Except for one guy who was like, what are you, the Avatar? Throw up, you do some wind powers. Ah, you got me with your wind powers. That was funny. Yeah.
These are some things that I'm gonna say some nice things.
Okay, I'm
bearing in mind.
About me?
No.
Oh, all right.
These nice things are through gritted teeth, okay?
Because
I feel like sometimes you have to say some nice things. You know, like your mum tells you,
just be
nice.
If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all on a podcast. But that doesn't work on a podcast, mum. Mum.
That's not what this show's about sometimes.
Podcasts are just about spinning your wheels until you're up to 10 minutes.
That's right. So to be fair, they built these incredible sets and visit amazing locations. I think at times it's not a horrible looking movie location-wise, but at the same time, there's not really a feel between like distinct nations and regions. There's no idea of geography, like where are we in the world?
I didn't know that either.
Where is anybody from? What distance has anybody traveled? Where's the sense of community? Who is anyone? Like, it doesn't...
You're throwing all these questions at me like I would somehow know the answers, and I don't.
And there's shit like Dev Patel's character in the animation.
Yes.
He's got a big scar across his face because his father did it. Mm-hmm. It's like retribution and to teach him a lesson and all that. Mm-hmm. And maybe to get rid of him or maybe to make him a stronger man. He doesn't really seem to care, right? Can you even tell that he's scarred in this movie?
I mean, a little bit from certain angles.
I'm talking about. It's like, because it's a huge mark of shame that somebody from the Fire Nation who can control fire gets burnt. Mm. That's like a big deal.
Right.
He's like one of the only ones you see who has that.
It'd be like if you worked at a spaghetti factory and you got drowned in the spaghetti.
That's right. You'd be like, Mamma Mia.
That's the first reference I could think of. I guess I'm just hungry. I don't know.
And there's things like Sokka's boomerang. It's not even shaped right. Like, you can't get the shape of a boomerang right.
There's a boomerang in this movie?
He's got a boomerang.
No, he's got a stick. He has a stick on his back, doesn't he?
It's a boomerang.
No, he wears a stick on his back, I remember.
To you, though, does this feel compressed? Does it feel sped up?
Oh, yeah.
What does it feel like to you?
It feels like, well, I mean, very early on, we get the Avatar has been rescued from the ice.
Yeah, sure.
He's been in a big block of ice for 100 yards. And he's rescued by the brother and sister team.
Yeah.
And then the Fire Nation show up and like ruin their lives.
They've got great ships and costumes, I think.
Oh, the ships look pretty good.
Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody else have any like mechanical ships?
Because they're not important.
They're rural and they're connected to the Earth.
It's in the animation.
Of course it is. Yeah, no, I get it. Right. But then he leaves, like they capture him and he leaves and they're like, we've got to go rescue this kid. Why?
Because it's the Avatar.
You just met him. And he ruined your village or whatever.
Again, it's...
The bloody Dev Patel shows up and he's like, bring me your elderly. I want to hear all their boring stories, maybe. Is that why I'm here?
I guess so.
Is he going to kill the elderly? Because they've outlived their usefulness,
but
if
again,
I'm honest with you.
These are things that you get a sense of in better storytelling over multiple episodes.
I don't think you would. Based on this, I don't think
you're probably right.
Anyway, but then they're like, we've got to go rescue. No, you don't. You're trying to survive in this harsh, unforgiving, frozen world.
Also, he got out.
Yeah, on his own, yeah. He seemed skilled enough to get out on his own, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I think I'm saying there is would it be nice for some bonding?
Yeah.
Of which there isn't any?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Why they're like, we got to rescue the... You're not friends.
No.
He's a little bald, weird guy.
He's a bit of a little bald,
weird guy. Why is he still alive? He's been trapped in the ice for 100 years.
Magic Mason.
Yeah.
See, that a lot of these things that I think you'll have problems with are things that don't matter. Because there's so much else going on and it's such a fleshed out universe.
I see, right.
Uh-huh. I think you watching the show off the back of this is going to ruin it for you, genuinely.
Great, terrific.
But to be fair, it's only like the first part. It extends beyond that.
Oh, so this
that.
Is meant to be like season one of the TV series? Yeah. Okay, right.
Book one.
All right, well, thank you for ruining season one for me in this grand experiment of yours. But at least I've got how many left? Two seasons?
Yeah,
one
I think
season?
It gets better as well.
Okay,
as it goes.
Great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So speaking of, though, the original creators, they didn't want to do this. Their show was cancelled to make this happen. There was going to be a fourth season.
The animated series, right?
Yes. But they thought if this is something that somebody's going to do, maybe they should do it. But the studio was like, no, we're going to get M. Night in. He's going to come in. He makes great movies sometimes, mostly set in Philadelphia. So they said, okay, well, then we'll help as much as we can. So they were consulting for a bit, but then they threw away most of their ideas and they had a big falling out and then they just, they had virtually no involvement.
Sounds to me like the reason this movie didn't work is those Avatar fellows are of more trouble than they were.
It seems that way, Mason,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So M. Night also submitted a 7-hour script, but had to begrudgingly cut it down to 2 hours. But it's like, for me, okay, when I hear that, like I see where you're coming from, you want to tell a larger story. But this is a movie. Movies aren't 7 hours long. Like, if you came and said, I want to do book one over 4 movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but you can't just be like, I'm making a 7-hour movie. No, you can't.
Well, it's all right. We'll fix it with the aforementioned narration. And we'll fix it with my favorite character from one of the earlier scenes, Grandma Exposition. Do you remember her?
I do remember her,
Where they're like, Grandma, what's the spirit world? And she's like, well, you can't see the spirit world.
But there's a dragon in
it. There's a dragon. Oh, yeah, I've got a note here. It just says, a dragon spirit or something. That's all I have here. But look, side note.
Yeah.
There is a scene towards the end where Aang the Avatar is like, he meditates for hours and he encounters the dragon spirit. And he's like, dragon spirit, how do I defeat the Fire Nation?
Yeah.
And the dragon spirit's like, water. Brilliant. All right. Well, look, we're on the clock here. But I mean, thanks for... Water beats fire, does it? Is that what?
What if he said rock?
Oh my god! Thank you for that wonderful wisdom, Dragon Spirit. I like to think that Aang is going to like bring that forward into his 20s. He's just going to be a guy at home, like he communes with the Dragon Spirit, and he's like, Dragon Spirit, what should I have for dinner tonight? And the Dragon Spirit's like, you can have that leftover chili that's in your fridge. Oh, I guess you could get takeout. And Aang's like, yep, get takeout. Good call, Dragon Spirit. Thanks, buddy. You're the greatest roommate ever.
That lives in my mind?
Yep.
But here's the thing, though. He's made up for this. He's one of the only elements
well,
that
I
they
wondered, cause
invent.
The, here's the thing. I didn't understand the cosmology of the Avatar universe.
You don't
because,
need to.
No, I feel that I need to, and you need to explain it to me. Okay so the waterbenders
yes.
get their powers from the moon.
Yep.
But also a fish. And if you kill the fish, you lose the power. So what was the moon?
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the...
I was actually going to ask you about this in terms of
fish,
what you understand.
The fish is like the power source.
Yep.
And the moon is like the volume dial. So like if the moon's closer, you get more power from the fish.
Sure, yeah.
But
okay.
If the fish dies, the presence of the moon will not help you.
Yes.
But also the dragon is there. Who's the dragon? The dragon's not the air spirit.
Well, no, because what he's supposed to do...
Is the air spirit also a fish?
Well, what he normally does, no. Yeah. He can visit the past versions of himself.
Okay.
There's hundreds, thousands of them.
Oh, I saw them. I
remember
them.
And he can commune with.
Yes.
So that's what he's supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Like he visits the last one and he goes, why is everything so bad? And he's like, battles and shit.
Wasn't my fault, though.
But it was.
Yeah.
A lot of it was, it turns out.
But don't go further back and ask any of the previous avatars. They wouldn't know.
But the thing about that dragon...
They weren't there, man.
Yeah, the dragon looks bad, for one, and it also doesn't really represent anything.
Okay.
It's just a dragon that gives vague advice.
Okay, but this is from what I can tell, this is a very vague sort of, you know, fantasy world, so it requires a dragon, from what I can gather.
Exactly. It feels like Dragon Ball, anybody? That's got a dragon. Can this have a dragon? No, it can't have a dragon.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Also, 30 minutes of extra footage was cut from the theatrical release because Paramount Pictures wanted this to be converted into 3D as quickly as possible in an effort to save money. And this is at the point where they'd already invested $150 million. And one of the scenes,
yes,
which is included here, features the Kyoshi Warriors, which are a massive part of the story they teach soccer. Who's this kind of...
They teach soccer.
They teach soccer, yes.
Can they teach me about the offside rule? Because I'm still so confused about that.
They play a different kind of soccer where offside is fine. But he's kind of this blowhard. He's kind of macho and sexist. And they teach him.
No, he seems like a very reasonable guy. He seems very...
No, Mason. No, I'm talking about the animation.
No, he seems very loyal to the princess. He meets the princesses and he's like, I've got to protect the princess.
Yeah, absolutely. But they show him that women can be warriors too, and he needs to kind of maybe step back a bit and realize that you don't have to save everybody all the time. It's all about friendship and working together. And other people outside of you also have abilities who are female. But in this, in the deleted scene, that I'm like, oh, I wonder what this deleted scene is. They get on the back of the big flying yak.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother... Or... sales. I definitely prefer... Don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Some women step out with fans and wave. And I'm like, that's nothing. That's not representative of what they look like. There's no lessons there. Like, you cut this scene, But it's not, I can see why you cut it, because it's not anything in the first place. It's not like you took something out that's pivotal. It's more confusing than anything else.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, I'm reluctant to blame M. Night for this, because
he had a perfect 7 hours out there. They just wouldn't give it to him. Not his fault that he, a movie maker, a man who's supposed to make movies to a predetermined length that we as society have all determined is the correct length for a movie, couldn't do that. He couldn't do it by a factor of 3 at least.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's not in his wheelhouse, like, at all.
Uh-huh.
It's
a Philadelphia.
Huge jump in budget and scope for him, and it was massively interfered with. He's just not the right person for this, backed by the right people, I think also. Huh. And, like, I remember the time, because I looked at old interviews, and he's like, this is the best movie I've ever made or whatever. And then, like, a couple years back, he's like, it's the worst movie I've ever made. So it's really that.
Wait a second. Did he lie to us in promotional interviews for this movie he was trying to get people to pay for?
Yeah, I believe
that
so.
Son of a bitch.
You know what else is bad about this? The bending.
Go on.
It's bad and it's slow. There's this one scene in the Earth Kingdom.
Yes.
Where it's one shot. Yes. And there's special effects. The camera's drifting from person to person and there's wire work and everything. But it looks fucking horrible. It looks like absolute dog shit.
Well, here's the question I had. So it's faster in the cartoon.
It's breathtaking.
Well, because in this movie, well, it felt to me like one of those movie universes that doesn't exist until the movie starts.
Yes.
Because it's like, we'll put in this... Everybody's got the powers and they can work real slow, like this Tai Chi kind of vibe, and make these some vague, you know, elemental effects or whatever.
Mm.
And I'm like, so you've been fighting like this for hundreds or thousands of years, and you've never even thought to, like, buddy up each of the benders with just, like, a dude who runs at the other guy and punches him really hard in the nuts. Like, that's what, because that's all you need. If you're a firebender, you're the firebender, and you have, like, an interrupter guy.
Yeah. And he's got a stick.
He's got a stick, and he hits the other guy with a stick. Because you need to do this elaborate semaphore, like, decoding this pattern situation. Just hit him in the nuts.
Yeah, but it's not like
or
that.
Or ovaries.
But anybody who's skilled at this in the animation, you can't get near them. And right. If you pair, say, like, Aang up with a waterbender or an earthbender, he's unstoppable. Like, or even him by himself is unstoppable. But here it's so slow and wavy. And it's like...
James, I'm in possession of half a brick. I feel I could take on most of these guys.
I agree.
On my own.
Yeah.
Just wait for him to start doing the wavy thing. Brick to the head is all I'm saying. There's a scene, James. Yeah. There's a scene where the firebenders have taken over what I think is an earthbender encampment.
Yeah.
And the earthbenders are like... We need the Avatar to help us because we can't stop these firebender guys. And it's like,
put some walls up.
Yeah, you
put them in a box.
Look below your feet. There's all this earth.
Because a lot of the time, also, if they capture an earthbender, they'll put them in metal.
Makes sense.
There's a point in time in the series where they, you know, that cannot be manipulated. That changes later on. It's neither here nor there. But yeah, there's a number of measures that you can put in place to stop somebody. And there's also, it's a big deal that we see the uncle again play.
Is there an uncle?
Yeah, he's his uncle. He finds out who the Avatar is by doing
his
test.
You see the guy later who he goes, whoa. Is that the guy?
Potentially, yes.
There's a big line of guys. I think they're like water people.
Okay.
And he goes, yo.
Like no, it's the bad guy's uncle.
Oh, uncle bad guy.
Uncle bad guy.
Yeah.
Again, a very funny character. And he's also, he's kind of a...
See, mostly mean.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's kind of a goof.
Uncle Yinsen.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right, exactly.
Right.
Because in the animation, he's kind of a goof and people don't really take him seriously. And he's a drunk and he's a bit overweight and people are like, he was this great warrior, but now he's like this big loser.
Okay.
But when you push him too far, he's insane.
Like, he can make fire out of nothing.
Yeah, but that's what I was getting at. They can all make fire out of nothing.
Huh.
That's not a thing in this universe. Why did they change it? Because they're like, where did he get the fire from? And I'm like, I thought they all could do that because that's the lore of this universe. It's the pyro thing from X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Well, they can't make fire, but they can make fire.
No, based on what I've seen, they cannot make fire and only Uncle Yinsen can make his own fire.
Yeah. That's cool, I guess.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the main villain in this is Mr. Aziz from Spider-Man 2. And that doesn't work at all, does it? Because, again, and I don't want to be like, but in the animation they did this. But in the animation they did this, right?
Mm-hmm.
After he kills the fish and the fish is resurrected.
I stabbed that bag with the fish in it.
Yeah, that's right. After he kills the fish, it's his pride that kills him in the end, right? So he's getting swept up. by like a great water spirit or something from memory. And Dev Patel's character is there. This is just easier for you. That's why I'm calling it. And he's like, give me a hand. I'll save you. Mm. Right. And his pride won't allow him to be saved by this outcast.
Yes.
And so he's killed. But in this, some guys just drown him in a ball of water. Like it's, all right, I guess. Great. Back to the pizza restaurant for you. Awful. Not a good choice. Look, I realize how long this is getting and I knew this would happen. So instead of doing any kind of trivia, what I've done, in dot points, I've compiled a list of things I hate about this movie that I just, we don't really have time to elaborate on. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you for each of these points, what's really not that bad.
Okay, great. I like Cliff Curtis. He's universally great in everything that he does. But the animated series, it builds up the character, the Lord of all the Fire People, of the Fire Nation. It builds up to three seasons for the reveal of this character, and he's voiced by Mark Hamill, and he's a terrifying presence. Here, though, he's not really scary at all.
He's just a mean uncle.
Yeah, he looks like a Moroccan casino manager that James Bond meets, but from one of the bad Brosnan movies.
And then maybe like he shoots him and stuffs him in a cupboard.
That's right, exactly, yeah.
Just offhandedly.
Like, there's nothing to him. He's just wearing a robe and just walking down corridors and being like, I think the Avatar is a... It's a bit whatever's happening here. The animal sidekicks in this, they look fine, but they have zero personality.
Oh, are they supposed to have personality?
They're supposed to have so much personality.
No, but personality gets in the way of them liberating the other towns or whatever they did, you know?
You're right. Major plot twists are casually revealed to both the audience and the people in the movie, like the blue spirit being Zuko.
What?
He's wearing the mask and he rescues Arm.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Also, why did they give him Slash from Guns N' Roses' hair? Because that's ridiculous. That doesn't aid that look at all. It's just a blue mask in the animation. What were they thinking? What race is anybody supposed to be? And I'm not talking about...
James, he was using his illusion. That's why he didn't know.
Oh, that's why I didn't
know who he was.
Good point. So what race is anyone supposed to be? And I'm not talking about the whitewashing, but also that. But I mean in terms of like accents, clothing, location, where is anybody from? Like I get they're sort of multicultural, but who is anybody at any point in time?
James, I can clear this one up for you. If they're wearing the Fire Nation robes, they're from the Fire Nation, and et cetera for the other three.
Okay, right.
The logic is clear.
Yep.
Whoever is from the Fire Nation sounds like they're from the Fire Nation.
Because they're yelling?
And around.
Okay, gotcha.
And so forth.
I apologize. It's boring and rushed, but it's also the longest movie I've ever seen. There's no arc for any of the major characters. Sokka overcomes his toxic masculinity and learns to become a great leader and warrior. None of that is here.
Yeah, I don't remember him having any toxic masculinity, which in a way is better for him. Because if he starts out as a cool dude, he can continue to be a cool dude. But I think if you recall, he does have a character arc because he's in love with the princess in theory.
Yep.
And so when she dies, he's sad in theory.
Yep.
And then when she comes back to life, he's happy in theory.
Does she come back to life?
I don't know. Maybe.
She does it in the animation. I can't remember. There's zero creative use of any of the bending. It's just waving hands and gusts of winds and water or whatever. We touched on that already.
Try and think of another thing you could do with wind besides put out a candle sometimes.
I've just written here, how dare they, quite frankly. That's just in general. It's not referring to anything specifically. they fucked up the arrow on Aang's head. It's supposed to be a big blue arrow, and I get what they were thinking in changing that, but at the same time, what were they thinking? Just a big blue arrow.
I mean, you know, thank your lucky stars they didn't try to do some sort of promotional tie-in and it was like the FedEx arrow or something like that.
Yeah, good point. And this, I think, ties...
We get your package there with the speed of the wind.
I think this ties into something you said. It's like nobody in the movie knows each other. People who are siblings, friends, lifelong enemies, people that we see meet in the movie. It feels like everybody was grabbed off the street, pushed into the same room, and forced to socialize at gunpoint. There's no chemistry between literally anybody. They could all be filmed on green screen on separate days in entirely separate locations.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were. Like before when you said, these sets were amazing, I'm like, they could just be green screen. It's hard to tell.
They went to Greenland. Extreme conditions.
Green screen land is what you're thinking.
Okay, am I? Yeah.
Which is a place in Burbank.
So the finale of this, there's a moment where they go, hey, Aang, they want you to be their avatar. We all do. Doesn't work like that. He is, regardless. Your options are, he's the avatar, or you stab him and you wait for the next one.
Okay.
Like, there's no, like, we accept you. You don't get a choice in that. He just is. And Do you remember the face that they leave Aang on at the end?
No.
He's just like, I don't know whether he's confused or annoyed.
Was it constipated?
Yes, yeah, sort of. Might have been, or like he's like determined. It's such a weird shot to end on of him. For this character that we never see again, by the way.
Yeah, but no, but they probably were just like half-assed this one because they've got a better scene to end on, which is when the general's like, well, they defeated me, but they're not going to defeat you. And then it's like, oh, it's the general's daughter who we saw for like 30 seconds an hour ago.
That's right, yeah. Man. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it.
This is the first of a trilogy, Mason.
No, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, the budget of this was $150 million, as mentioned. It only made $319 million, which did warrant a sequel. And the idea was that the sequels would take place over years because the animation takes place over months. That way, the characters would age up over years in real time, which kind of makes sense. There were plans in motion to make this happen because it made some money. So they went, oh, can we... You think, I mean, people, but some money though.
Yeah,
what do you
right.
think? Can
yes.
we get away with it?
They did that calculation of like negative reviews versus some money.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
There's just a guy in a room at any movie production studio and you just open the door every once in a while. And he's just like, I'm still, check back in an hour. Oh,
I like to think he's got a real set of big brass scales that he's using to weigh everything out. Anyway, anybody who had a minor or major creative hand in this movie should go to jail. Not director's jail, I mean real legitimate jail, because this is a fucking travesty. Look, I'm a new convert to Avatar The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. Only recently did I watch the entire series, and it's incredible. I know I'm jumping on the bandwagon, etc. Like, I never watched this because I always heard it was bad, and I'd never seen the original, so I didn't feel the need to. Mm-hmm. But what an absolute fucking disaster. This is the perfect example of just, you couldn't have done this any worse. Every step that you took was in the wrong direction. Baffling. But at the same time, this happens quite a lot, doesn't it?
It really does. And look, James, you are absolutely hysterical. I do not understand where you're coming from. As someone who hasn't seen the cartoon series, all I can say is that it filled me with the most positive sentiment I can think of for this kind of movie, in that I felt nothing. At any point, I did not feel anything. A series of scenes washed over me, and at the end, I'm not changed at all. So good for you, Hollywood. You've done it again.
You've done it again. I just want to end on the ultimate slap in the face for a movie, if you don't mind.
Go on.
So this was the most expensive movie ever produced by Nickelodeon Movies. So in addition to the $150 million budget, there was $130 million in advertising. Nickelodeon, though, did not give the film any nominations at its 2011 Kids' Choice Awards, despite the fact that Airbender was a Nickelodeon Movies motion picture.
Wow.
Yeah. But still, maybe a sequel because some money?
Yeah, some money. Ugh. They open the Kids' Choice door and there's just another dude in there like, ooh, no. He just holds up like whatever reward they give out and just drops it in the trash pointedly.
You know going in, you know what I mean? You know when something's not good.
Yeah, but I guess
my
so.
My God. You should watch, there's a really great video on YouTube. You know what they
Is it our video?
No,
this video again.
I mean, we have many great videos, but it's people coming out of the cinema, like big fans, and they're all dressed up and they're like, what did you think? Every single person is like, the worst. Wow. The worst movie I've ever seen. They couldn't have fucked that up more if they tried, which they seemingly did. I don't know. It feels intentionally bad. I don't know.
Again, I think these people are being hysterical. Just feel nothing like I did.
Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. If you'd like a hint towards next week, here it is. And if you would like to see that video early, you can actually head over to BigSandwich.co, where in addition to early videos, there's movie commentaries, there's video game Let's Plays, there's bonus podcasts. There's a bunch of stuff going on there, isn't there, Mason?
Yes, we have a grand old time over there.
We do have a grand old time. And we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. Swing by every Monday morning if you do want to check that out, or other days of the week, because it's still available then too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And your convenience.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
How dare they, Mason? How very much dare they? And I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
This guy wasn't, he have a bloody cry about his favorite. He's watched this show 5 minutes ago and then he's watching the movie and he's like, I'm having a big cry. This bloody bandwagon jumper.
See you next week.
But grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.